This morning, we begin our reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Pygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. This is a passage of Scripture that needs to be settled in each one of our lives. The absolute assurance of the truth, of the trustworthiness of God, is vital to our continued spiritual growth. We have often been admonished to read the Word and to mark each promise of God that we encounter with a T and P, tested and proven, as the Lord works and makes it manifest into our lives. This passage demands that care and that attention. As such, it should hold a very dear place within our hearts, in conjunction with many other passages that add to the glory of our reflection upon God. In that course, let us spend a few moments this morning with some key passages of tremendous truth that are perfect treasure troves of the reality of God manifested in Jesus Christ. This is far from an exhaustive study of all the passages that should be embedded into our hearts and minds and natures as unshakable and uncompromising truth. These are merely a few that declare our certain belief in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is our life. They are the rock bed in the absolute certainty of God's nature of being, or of God's being and nature and character. It is a good thing to review and to reflect on what we believe and to never take our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for granted in any measure. Time spent in contemplation and reflection on the fidelity of God is tremendous and indispensable as we face the earthly daily stresses and strains and demands on our time, our attention, our focus of life. The first basis of our belief is found in Job 19:25. "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth." To know God as our living Redeemer makes all the difference in our walk on this earth. First of all, he is alive. He is not a theory. He is not an idea. He is not a concept. He's not just a historical figure. He is a spirit, the creator, and the being of life. He is the perfect person of love. And in that love, he redeemed us unto himself through the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus lives, we live. Because he is alive, we are brought into eternal union with the Almighty God, the Creator. He created heaven and earth, all that is created, in Jesus Christ. This is no small thing to know. There is nothing greater. Our Redeemer lives. It is the very basis of all our hope and all our faith. All that we are and all that we have been promised is set in place through the fact that my Redeemer, your Redeemer, our Redeemer lives now, and he lives forevermore. The next glorious passage of absolute certainty is Isaiah 50:6-7. And this one came up this morning in a prayer meeting, as it always does. "I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Our God is our only source of eternal and perfect help. In him we find our help in every time of need and struggle and strife and affliction. By the Lord's help, we can walk through this earth with no fear and with no shame. As we look continually to the Lord as our every help, we will never suffer disgrace. He will never disappoint us. We will never be left blowing in the winds of distress and despair. He is our help in every time of need. We can count on him. We may not fully understand what is taking place and why we're undergoing the trials and the tribulations, but we know that He is here facing every situation with us. He is providing our strength and our endurance, and we will never, under any circumstances, be ashamed that we have called upon Him and trusted in Him. Friends may fail us. Family may disown us. Associates may flee from us. But in God we will never be humiliated. We will never suffer disgrace or disappointment. He will never desert us or make us depart from Him. He is our eternal help every time we call upon Him. He will help us, and He will see us through every trial, tribulation, dilemma, concern, problem, issue, doubt, test, suffering, pain, ordeal, difficulty, distress, or trouble. He is our help in every time of need. The next earnest assurance is that His Word is the bedrock of our belief. John 4:41, "And many more believe because of His Word." His Word is trustworthy, and it is the solid foundation of our lives. There is nothing that we encounter on this earth, no matter how newly shining and glittery its package, which is not dealt with in the truth and the power of the Word of God. It is in that certainty that our salvation is eternally secure. If we did not find the Holy Spirit bringing His Word to life within our hearts, we would not be enabled to believe in Jesus Christ as our salvation, let alone as our very life. The Word of God is the absolute source of all comfort and guidance as the Holy Spirit opens His heart into us. His Word is our every source of assurance and truth and direction onto His path of righteousness. Read it, study it, devour it, most especially treasure and obey it. It is life in Jesus Christ. As well, His Word brings us face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Others can tell us of Him, but it is the Holy Spirit, through the effective and life-giving power of His Word, who brings us to the very person of Jesus. John 4:42, "And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" What a joy to know Christ face to face, to be on familiar terms with the Lord for ourselves, within ourselves. It is a close and it is a personal relationship with the Lord. We are brought to Him through His Word by the Holy Spirit. We are shown His very face and we experience what it means to find our life in Him. We are made His brothers and learn to fellowship with Him and with each other. We celebrate the joy and the freedom that He gives each heart and soul. As well, His resurrected life awakens our dead spirits. Remember, please remember, that joyous moment when we were brought unto Him, and that instant when our shackles and burdens were released from our shoulders. Remember and treasure that moment of seeing Jesus Christ. We were thoroughly washed in His cleansing blood and held in the warm embrace of His loving arms. This is not cold theory or intellectual doctrine. This is the warmth, the life-giving breath of our Lord and Savior, infusing His life forevermore into our once dead body, soul, and spirit. In this personal relationship, we begin to discover the working of God within our lives. It is for the purpose of bringing us into conformity with our new spiritual life in Christ. We learn to cling with all our hearts and minds and souls to the promise of Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We begin to see life from His heavenly vantage point. We begin to realize that we've never truly seen the full picture of what's taking place until we've seen Him at work in our lives. There is a growing awareness that there is very much necessary to be done in our lives on this earth. We need to learn to count on Him and to trust Him in everything. It's a matter of complete reliance on Him to be our everything, no matter how things appear to our earthly senses and vision. That's our problem most often. We look at things through our eyes rather than through His eyes. When we see Him and what He's doing, things start to make sense. We then have that hope. We have that light at the end of the tunnel. We know that it's going to work out to His glory. And it doesn't matter what it means in our life, as long as He's glorified as a result. We sink our beings into the fact that God is our only source of wisdom. We learn that everything He does absolutely and completely and perfectly in Jesus Christ. Through the course of the trials and the tribulations and the testings and the storms, we see His glory being presented ever more clearly. We cling to the ever-increasing knowledge that all things are working together for our good. It doesn't matter how it looks from our earthly vantage point, because it's all in line with and fulfilling His eternal plan and purpose that was put into place before we were even born. That plan and purpose is always manifested in Jesus Christ. It is always in the power of His Holy Spirit, through the guidance and the authority of His Word of life. In that truth, we begin to get those glimpses of His honor and His glory and His majesty, which fills all of creation for all of eternity. Have you realized it? He's opened himself in such a way that we can see now, if we look, at that which will be recognized by all creation. We can see it now in Jesus Christ. One reason that we have this unerring and unflappable assurance is that our hope rests no longer in us. It's not in what we do. It's not in our power. It's no longer centered in the life that we live in the flesh, in this temporal realm, but in the heavenly, the spiritual realm that will never be polluted by anything of this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This world can crush out our physical life, but it can never destroy our true spiritual life in Christ. We will suffer persecution and decay in this earthly realm, but our spiritual life is eternally vibrant and renewed and secure in the hands of God. Eternal life is no longer a theoretical promise. It is the living truth established in the glorious victory of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can invalidate His triumphant victory. No power in heaven or on earth or under the earth can stand against Him and prevent us from our eternal resting place of glory in Jesus Christ. This is so because we are now in Jesus Christ, made the very children of God. In Him, we are the legitimate heirs of all life and truth and joy and blessing and righteousness and holiness and peace and love. He is our hope and our Redeemer. 1 John 3:2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We know that we shall be like Him. Our purity of life and purpose are set in Christ without any doubt or hesitation. In Jesus, we are free to come into the very presence of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus, we call upon God in all His grace and mercy, and He so lovingly responds. In Jesus, we have our spiritual communion and fellowship. In Jesus, we have life everlasting. In Jesus, we have all hope. In Jesus, we have utter and unfailing faith. In Jesus, we have all joy and rest and peace. In Jesus, we have every expression of selfless love. In Jesus Christ, we also show forth our love for God by bringing unto our Heavenly Father all glory and adoration and honor and majesty. This is so because He has adopted us unto Himself through the precious blood and life of Jesus Christ. in Jesus, as well as our communion with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father, and with the Holy Spirit. We have communion and love with and for each other. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. We are joined into a family relationship with all the believers, a true relationship that knows no bounds or end. That is why it's such a joy to look around at the fellowship and our brothers and sisters together in Christ. We are a family. But that basis is set in Jesus Christ. Just as we commune with Christ, we commune with each other in Him. We learn what it means to give as well as to receive love. And that's something that we need to learn. It's easy to receive and to give love to others. But when they want to love us, when the Lord has touched them in such a way that they wish to express that love, do we receive it in humbleness and with thanksgiving? Or do we feel that we need to give back something else to make us feel better? Many people don't want to be debtors to others. But we need to learn to give and receive love. We share together. The very person of love indwells us and works within us to manifest the new nature that is now ours in Him. We learn to more fully and utterly live an increasing love for others. Nothing else measures our spiritual growth in greater accuracy than the manner in which our love for one another finds pure and ever-increasing expression. To more accurately gauge our life in Christ is to more accurately love one another, even unto death. As well, it is that expressed love for others that cements our hearts in the reality of 1 John 3:23 and 24. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And we know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Let us never forget that we are now indwelled by the very Spirit of God. Consider that. We are now indwelled by the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is active in our lives to bring forth the greater truth of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He establishes the fact that it is no longer we that live, but Christ living His life in us. It is the Holy Spirit who is our comfort at times of loss and sorrow. He is our wisdom in times of witness and testimony. He is our strength in those times requiring endurance and long-suffering. He is our power to face each day as the glory of God unfolds in our lives. He is our guide, our encourager, our teacher, our source, and our sustenance. And let me repeat for greater emphasis. He The Holy Spirit is our power to face each day as the glory of God unfolds in our lives. He is our guide. He is our encourager, our teacher, our source, and our sustenance. And how many of us are learning to rely upon Him to get us through each day, day by day, as the Holy Spirit infuses His life into us. By His effective work, the Word is opened in a reality much greater than ideas and concepts and doctrines. It is life and truth in the revealed grace of God in action. Some of you are learning that as you listen to a series on Ruth and the grace of God manifested in very ordinary lives, but what His plan and purpose is. He is trustworthy in every regard, and He is faithful to accomplish all that is ordained in and through our lives. That is why we rejoice as we learn the utter reliability of God's Word as the unshakable bedrock of truth and life. That is why we so joyously and resolutely hold on to these passages of assurance and encouragement and faith as the undeniable and unfailing promises of God. In His name, so be it. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Amen.